welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Chris Brown. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
We're doing this series on holy households. And it's Pentecost Sunday. So I'm going to sort of put those two together. I had this great message, which, you know, the Lord gave me this other one and said, you can't do that. You have to preach like with this. And it was more than 15 minutes ago. So I've had a lot of time to prepare. It's okay. So as you may know, nearly 2,000 years ago, something incredible happened in Jerusalem that changed the world forever. And we read about it in the book of Acts. So turn there, the first couple of chapters of the book of Acts, if you have a Bible. Jesus had foretold this amazing event after his death and resurrection. And before his ascension, he spoke to his disciples and said, as you read in Acts 1, verse 4 to 5, I'm going to read a few passages in Acts 1 and 2. There it is. Once when he was eating with them, that's the disciples, he, Jesus, commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. So Jesus had mentioned a number of times about the coming of the Holy Spirit, about the paraclete, the comforter, the counselor, and now he pitches it in another way and says he's not just going to comfort you, something else he's going to do. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's interesting to notice that they're the words of Jesus, baptism, the Holy Spirit, because sometimes there's a little controversy around that term. Some people have said, oh, look, it's not really a baptism. It's not really an experience. It's just, and they kind of don't understand it. So they write it out of reality, but it's right there in the words of Jesus, an experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And then if you read on a couple of verses later in verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So here's a connection. The Holy Spirit brings power. And you may have read before or heard that, you know, the Greek word there is dynamos, from which we get the word dynamic or dynamite. So we can easily understand what Jesus is trying to say. The Holy Spirit is not just a sweet, comforting presence, though he can be and is that, but he's also powerful, real spiritual power. And with that power, he says, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here we are from Jerusalem, we're kind of the ends of the earth in Australia 2,000 years later. And that's where the witness of Jesus has gone. Over the centuries, with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people to go and tell people about Jesus in spite of persecution, peer pressure, being burned at the stake. You know, where the church is oppressed, the church is strongest. You see that right there a few chapters later in the book of Acts. Great persecution came, scattered people out of Jerusalem. Oh, what do you know? Where are they? They're in Judea. They're in Samaria. They're being scattered to the ends of the earth. And so God uses bad situations for good. And where people have been persecuted, they just end up digging their heels in and go, well, if I'm going to die, I may as well die for a cause, and Jesus is the way, and I'm going to go to heaven anyway, so do your worst. And they burn them at the stake or shoot them or whatever. And then people hear about that and they go, I'll be a believer too. And it's amazing throughout history how, you know, the church is strong even when it's attacked and oppressed. And then in Acts 2, here we are. This is the day of Pentecost, verse 1, which is 50 days after the Passover. That was in their calendar, a festival. And it says, Acts 2, verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, or traditionally speaking in other tongues, or speaking in tongues, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability or utterance. So when you read, so there's the church. That's the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. This great promise that Jesus had given, Holy Spirit would come. And on that day, this incredible thing called the church, the family of God, the body of Christ, all kinds of names and descriptions of how amazing and wonderful it is, and it's been going on for the last couple of thousand years, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, when you read on, the next few verses tells the account of Peter standing up and preaching the first sermon of the church. And it's a good one, because 3,000 people respond and get born again and are added to the church. So there's good results. And then you read in Acts 2, 42, we'll read down to verse 47. This is the last passage I'll read. Watch this. All the believers devoted themselves. Don't you love that? I heard an entire sermon on that phrase once that was revolutionary for a lot of people. They devoted themselves. They didn't sit at home and wait for someone to beg and cajole and call them and grab them and drag them to church or try and live their faith for them. They had their own agency, as we say these days. They devoted themselves. And so we need to have our own personal devotion, yeah, and get and figure out, well, what am I going to do? What am I devoted to? Not just, you know, be a victim or sit around, wait for someone else to pick me up. No, we've all got the ability to get devoted to something. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Wow, you can unpack that. That's a powerful verse right there. But keep going. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Wow. What an exciting, anointed, empowered beginning for the church. Church has had some bad days. That's not one of them. That's a good day. Church had some bad press and you know, hasn't been perfect. But it's better than the alternative. It's still an amazing, wonderful organisation, organism, thing, family, community, lots of descriptions. And right there, what a beginning. Now, of course, today we look back on that and we read the accounts of the early church. We don't have to and shouldn't try to emulate everything they did, because in some respects it was a unique period in history, different culture, different time. For example, usually there's no need for people in our current society and situation to have to sell their homes and possessions in order to help those in need, as they did. So you'd be glad. We're not about to have an offering and ask for you to sell your house. But there are some aspects of the early church that we really can learn from and should aim towards. And one key is that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, for those people right there on that first day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. But when you read throughout the book of Acts, you see others following suit. And as I said, this is an experience that is a real experience subsequent to salvation. So we receive the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 tells you that he seals you in the Lord. And so we're not saying that people don't ever get the Holy Spirit in their life when you get born again. But there is definitely an experience subsequent to that that is on offer, that Jesus prophesied about, talked about, promised. And it is normally accompanied with the gift of speaking in tongues, as they had on that day, and other spiritual gifts. Again, as you see in the book of Acts, and in fact, all throughout history. And so that experience is available today. In fact, today we're going to finish the service with an altar call. And I'll pray for anyone who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, who never has, and receive the gift of speaking in tongues and let the Holy Spirit totally empower you. It's awesome. He also empowered them to be a strong witness, as Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8. In Acts 1 and 8, you'll receive power so that you can be my witnesses. So it's not just for ourselves. It's a boldness and empowerment that comes so that we can be a strong witness. Who knows, the world needs a strong Christian witness. When you read the papers or look at the news, it's like, okay, the world's gone mad. They need the Lord. And I love that new song, you know, the name of Jesus. There's one name under which we can be saved. Did you learn that the first time last week? Because I was away. Or did I just not notice it the weeks before? No, it's great. It's got the drum beat going and, yeah, I loved it. And it's all about the Lord Jesus, who we need and the Lord needs, yeah? So, again, that's for us, empowerment to witness. So we can and should be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, we want the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that is growing in our character to become more Christ-like. But we also get energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit with his gifts operating in our lives. And what I really want you to note today, given this series we've been talking about Holy Household, is verse 46. Look at that again. It says, they worship together at the temple and they met in homes. At the temple and in homes. Now, of course, today our version of the temple is Sunday church gatherings, right? This is the bigger meetings, the gatherings where we come together and we have teaching and preaching from God's word. We have fellowship. We have opportunities for prayer. We have great singing, which if you're not a great singer, you want to be in church because worshiping in the shower, you know, it's okay. But again, if you're not a great singer, you need to find a good singer to stand next to and or let the band just, you know, and you think you're worshipping brilliantly, but you're just caught up with someone who really can sing in tune, and that's a good thing. I mean, we've all had those experiences, I think, I had the ear pods in at this gym at the hotel we're at, and I thought I was the only one in the gym, and You know what I'm going to say now. Have this great worship song going, you know. Bethany sends me worship songs. Bethany knows every new worship song. And since she was about age six, she's been tracking every Christian song that exists, you know. And she's always sending me. So I got this song and I'm in the gym and I at one point I know I was the only person in the gym and I'm on the treadmill, you know, and I'm working away and seeing, and I joined the song a little bit, probably a little bit too loud, you know, and I was, oh, there's someone there. Oh no. I thought, oh well, they probably, you know, at least were witnessed to by this buffhead going, Jesus, yeah, oh Lord, I love you, you know. So, it sounds good, like I said, when you got the music turned up. So you've got to just be in church to have good praise and worship set, you know. And, of course, there's ministry that we give and receive from. We have opportunities to grow in gifts, to help people. We have opportunities to receive ministry. It's a great place to invite people, to hear the gospel, to let them experience for themselves what a community of faith looks like. Great coffee, children's ministry, you know, the list goes on. So that's awesome. It's all beneficial. It's all glorifying to God, the bigger meetings, the temple gathering, if you like. But notice that they also met in their homes. In other words, church isn't just on Sundays, church is in our homes. And we're talking about holy households. And so I want you to think about Pentecostal holy households. What does a spirit-filled household look like? Because it's the day of Pentecost. Because this is where the church also exists and thrives and lives and grows, in our homes. So we want Jesus to move and minister through the Holy Spirit in our homes. And how does he do that? Well, he does it with our invitation, doesn't he? By us intentionally seeking after Jesus, seeking after the Lord, wanting him to dwell in our hearts and our homes. We want to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to invite his presence and his power into our homes. And so what does that look like? You know, how does that play out? What's the difference between a house that's touched by Pentecost, that's filled with the Spirit, and a household that isn't? How are you building your home with and alongside the Holy Spirit, with his anointing, with his leading, with his empowerment, so that it'll glorify God and bless other people? And so these questions, like, is the Holy Spirit an integral part of the daily rhythms of my home, of our household? These are all questions worth considering. And to assist with that consideration, let me reflect on three common phrases that we use with the Holy Spirit and see how they relate to our home. And they are simply the terms Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered, and Spirit-led. Think about Spirit-filled, because we want our homes to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'd agree, that's a good thing, yeah? And that's going to happen when we pray. So when I think of something being someone or a place being Spirit-filled, there's going to be prayer, because prayer creates atmosphere. And a home that is filled with the Holy Spirit is going to be a home filled with prayer. Because there's a real connection there. You know, an atmosphere gets created with the words that are spoken and attitudes that are displayed in that atmosphere. And prayer is an attitude towards God that invites God into that place. Prayer are words that are sent up that bring solutions and answers and responses down. And so it invites God's presence, and with God, the atmosphere shifts. You end up with an atmosphere that's full of his love and his grace and his presence and his peace and purpose and joy. It's a place where relationships grow. It's healthy, happy home life. There's a home where people feel welcome. You know, they come in and they feel at home. We talk about someone feeling at home, even if they're in your home, visiting your home. You want people to feel better when they leave than when they came. And that happens when a place has been soaked in an atmosphere of prayer. You actually, you know, you feel ministered to. It wasn't just the food was good or the coffee or whatever. And sometimes people don't even know why. It's the presence of God. It's because of the prayers that have been prayed. And because we talk about the vibe of a place, don't we? Oh, it's, you know, Marbo, it's the vibe, it's, you know, it's just, you walk into a home or an office or a shop or, and you get a feeling, you get an atmosphere, you go, oh, this, I don't know, there's a spirit. Yes. There's a spirit about the place, because there is, because spiritual things affect physical places. So if we're going to have a spirit in our home, let's make it the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Because we're talking about holy households, because we have the Holy Spirit who wants to fill our hearts and our lives and our homes. And he's available to inhabit and influence our homes. And so we should start the day, obviously, in prayer. Right? Prayers of praise and thanksgiving. Prayers that bring the presence of God. Jesus told his disciples, they said, teach us to pray. He said, okay, start with this. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Or may your name be greatly honoured in this place, is one translation. So praise you, Lord. God, we give you glory. We praise you. Well, that's inviting the presence of God. That's going to shift the spiritual climate in that home where that prayer is prayed. Right? It builds an attitude of gratitude. It lifts your spirit, lifts the atmosphere. It's so much better than waking up to do that than just switching on the news or the radio or checking your emails or racing out the door with your mind racing about all the things you got to do. All right? So prayer starts the day well. And, of course, when there's problems and issues in life, we've got to overcome the temptation to stress about it, solve it, figure it all out by ourselves. Oh, I know, bring it to the Lord. We pray over that problem. We press into his presence and get, you know, an answer, a solution, maybe not even an answer, but just peace that it's going to be okay, right? So kids arrive home from school, they're stressed, they got some issue going on. It's okay, we're going to pray about it. Yes. Not, I'm going to call the school, right? Bethany's had plenty of those. Called Tim, all right, parents, and you think, parents Christians, why don't you pray over here? Yeah. Why don't you do that next time? Next time a parent calls, just say, well, my pastor said, Get nicked and go and pray. And, you know, tell your child that it's probably their fault and don't be a whinger. I'm just saying, I just know that there is a dynamic sometimes where some parents of precious little perfect children think that everybody else in the world is wrong except their child. I had Hudson. I know that's not true. So, look, I used to get calls from Gosford High, and Hudson knows that the deputy had my number on speed dial because he knew it off by heart. He would just tap, oh, I'm going to have to call you dad. Hello, Chris. And I'd see Gosford High, and it was either the scripture seminars that we ran for 20 years or so, or Hudson, you know. It'd be like, which one? Hello? Yeah. Oh, Keelan's here too. So I was, Lizzo High School used to come up. And I'd often get them because Ruth refused to get them. Oh, hello, Mr. Brown. So thank you for answering. We've been trying to get on to Mrs. Brown, but we can't. I'm like, yeah, I know, because her phone says Lizzo Ohio, and she's had enough of getting calls from Lizzo Ohio. Oh, Keelan was not the only one glad to have left Lizzo Ohio. Lizzo Ohio were glad to... No. Look, he's done great. He's a fully qualified carpenter. And better that than... trying to keep him in the classroom and having the school burned down. So you don't just worry about stuff, you pray about it, you know. We press into his presence, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we remember promises like, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4, that's the Holy Spirit in you. And you think, oh, come on, I can pray about that sickness. I'm going to pray over my children. I'm going to fight against the devil's attack. I'm going to step into that authority that I've been given in the Spirit by Jesus, proven by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And this is where praying in tongues is so useful. Tongues isn't just some weird spiritual party trick. You know, it's not just some silly kind of, oh, I don't understand what's going on. It's a powerful prayer language. And the Bible talks about praying with groans and expressions that words can't express. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in... Sometimes you just cannot articulate in an earthly language what is going on from spirit to spirit, from deep to deep. And so we press in with our spiritual prayer language. And you pray over your kids. You pray with your children when they go to bed or at dinner or, you know, in the morning. Or you find out what works for you. You know, we used to have a prayer circle in the, you know, front of the house before the kids went out. We'd do scripture memory. You can test them over coffee. Any one of my children, go and hit them up and say, tell them what you know, they learn a lot of scripture just there. Didn't take too long. But you find out what works best in your home for prayer with the children, for the children. And of course, you proclaim the promises of God when you pray. You know, because that's powerful, which leads on to the next phrase, and that is spirit empowered, because we want this in our home too. We want the power of the Holy Spirit, just as he moved on the day of Pentecost, it's available for us all. And that power, it's in our prayers, but it's also contained in the Word of God. So we contain the two. We combine the two, I should say. We pray and we pray the promises of God. You don't just demand God does something because you feel like it's a good idea. You have promises God's made, and then you can go, well, Lord, I pray for that because you've said you do it. You know, so, for example, Isaiah 32 verse 18 says, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Ruth and I both know that off by heart because we lived in Russia in the early 90s where there were not a lot of secure dwellings and peaceful habitations. there were not always quiet resting places because the communist government had collapsed, the mafia were on the rise, crime was rampant, there were turf wars going on, you were a target if people found out you spoke English and came from another country because they knew you had money. And so someone tried to steal our car outside our apartment. Someone got stabbed. We saw the blood, heard the fight and the kerfuffle. The church heard about that and said, right, we're going to give you another door. We had this door that had several different locks on it. We ended up with a second door that was made out of steel. It was like living in a safe in the bank. And it was so many locks on both doors, getting in and out would take like 5 minutes, you know, and you'd just be going to church, you'd get out the door, you'd lock it all up with the seven keys. I looked like, you know, what's his name? Some old jailer, you know, with all these big ring of keys. You're just about to go to the car and then Hudson, you go, I forgot my gloves. And he's, you know, it's freezing cold winter and he took his gloves off just before we're about to, you're copping it today. Get the gloves, lock. And so, because I don't know if I told you this till years later, but I'd seen evidence that someone had tried to break into our wooden front door. And I'd told someone at church without telling Ruth. And then they got this steel door and it was great. Annoying, but great. But, you know, but we weren't just relying on our two front doors to keep us safe. We relied on the Lord because wherever we went, he was with us. Yeah, and with the Holy Spirit living on the inside, and it's the same for you. You go anywhere with the power, the protection of the Holy Spirit. And so that's, you know, promised in the Word of God. So you take promises that are in God's Word and you take a hold of them and you pray over them, yeah? And men, we need to especially stand up and pray and take the promises of God, you know, and be strong as men in our homes. And of course, you know, teaching your children the Word of God, again, it doesn't have to be long-winded, certainly shouldn't be boring, should be practical. I just spoke to one of my great mentors the other day, and I've mentioned this gentleman before, Mac Lindsay. When I first got born again at school, he was a school teacher there, and afterwards went on and worked with him and for him in camps, Christian camps, and he became a great mentor over the years. He's in his late 80s, still serving the Lord, and was always brilliant. If I went to their home for dinner afterwards, he'd just get the Bible and he'd have one little passage and one little punchy thought that didn't last long, because he had teenage kids who were younger than me. So I was maybe late teens and then early 20s, and I'd visit sometimes and have dinner with him. And he was aware, he was a very good high school teacher. You've got to keep it short, snappy, punchy, you know. And it was still just pithy and punchy, you know, really good, profound stuff without being long-winded. And I spoke to a pastor at a conference a couple of months ago, and he told me, we've got this guy in our church. His name's Mac, and he's an older guy, and he does this brilliant Bible study every Monday night called Mondays with Mac, and it only goes for 1 hour. And I said, I know exactly who you're talking about, and it's the same Mac Lindsay, you know, that there's been, and he's still doing it in his 80s. And on Mondays with Mac, they have this 1 hour Bible study. I can just imagine him saying, righto, got 1 minute to go, knock it off, stop talking, right, we're finishing up, let's pray, the end, you know, and just real matter of fact school teacher stuff. So all that to say, you find out what works in your home, you know, in terms of prayer and reading the Word and make it real. Final phrase is spirit led. We want to be empowered, we want to be filled, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And this relates to decisions, the directions of your life and your home life in terms of, you know, the big scary ones, but even the little decisions. But certainly the big scary ones, like buying a house or moving house or, you know, it can, Ruth mentioned earlier, holidays, creative ideas, or helping you to figure out how to save money or make money or plan holidays and fun events. The Holy Spirit is interested and available for every part of our life. And then the big ones, like buying a house, we need the Holy Spirit's help. You know, don't try and figure it all out on your own. Bethany and Justin were great with this. They were saving and looking for a house, and the whole family were praying and looking with them. And it was just this wonderful connection of events. It's too long a story. I might get you to share it one day. But just how the Holy Spirit led them and others in the family to find the house, how the deal went through and got a great price. And you could just sense this is because they're prayerfully following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, guide us, show us. We're not just going to go ahead. We want you to lead and show us. So, I'll run out of time to share that story because I want us to have a time of prayer right now. So, in your home, believe for the Holy Spirit, yeah, to fill your house and heart, to empower your house and heart, and to lead your heart and your house. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.